Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is May 24th, 2004, and you are welcome to call in and join us. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson. We're talking to you live here in Pensacola, Florida. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory that's being taught in our schools is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of the world, and those are the nice things we say about it. I just got back from a great meeting up in Iowa. I was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Jonathan. They had just had a bunch of tornadoes there. And then I flew to Minnesota yesterday morning, and it was freezing yesterday afternoon. I couldn't believe it. Like 45 degrees in Minneapolis still. What on earth? I was in Wisconsin the week before that, and I said, man, when does summer come around here? And they said, oh, summer is just 3 months of bad sledding. That was their take on it. 3 months of bad sledding. Well, yeah, okay. You guys enjoy yourself up there. Anyway, we take the position the Bible is true, evolution theory is retarded, and we're here to help. If you believe you came from a rock, we have the technology to set the record straight and to explain to you, no, you didn't. God created you. God made the world in six literal 24-hour days about 6,000 years ago, and there was a big flood 4,400 years ago that completely destroyed the world, dropped everybody's property value to zero. Okay, I have all kinds of testimonies here. And radio questions, if you want to call in, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, and we'll put you on the air live with your question, or you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. You might want to contact anybody on your AOL instant message list and tell them to listen into the program or to call in if they have any questions or comments. We'd be glad to help on the situation. Okay, here we go. Jonathan, I think these testimonies were... This Henry Lafleur, this name looks familiar. Yeah, these are some I've already had. You want to ask Martha if she's got others? Yeah. You just put them in there today. Henry Lafleur, that name rings a bell. Let me see here. Dr. Hovind, I saw your DVD of 6 months ago. My daughter brought it home from school. She goes to the University of Louisiana Lafayette. It was the Garden of Eden video. Surprising thing was, we believe in the same thing. We didn't know all the science that was involved.
Okay, was it going just a couple seconds ago?
From Oral History of Our Elders. I'm Native American from the Huma Nation. Yep. That rings the bell, the Huma Nation. John, I think I've read these already. Are we on the air? We got a technical problem? Or?
The button wasn't pushed in over there.
Oh, so we're doing fine?
Yeah.
So we need to start over? Or?
No.
Okay. All right, keep on going. I love all these technical problems. Always something to go wrong. Could you ask Martha if we can afford a new Manila folder?
We'll look into it.
Look into it. See if we can get a new one here. That one's having a rough life, or it's already had a rough life. We're going to retire it to the place where old Manila folders go when they die. Robert McMillan writes in, what was the real date of Jesus' birth? Robert, I don't think anybody except the Lord knows. Apparently, the calendar we're using is at least 4 years off, possibly even six. I don't think anybody knows for sure. There's several indicators that it's certainly not the time we think it was, okay? And it's certainly not December 25th, okay? December 25th is a pagan holiday. It used to be the shortest day of the year, called the winter solstice. There's no question December 25th has pagan origins, at least as far as the pagans celebrating that date. And God made all the days of the year. It's nothing pagan about any day. But Jesus probably born sometime in the spring is what most scholars will say, because the shepherds were in the field watching their flocks instead of in the house keeping warm. Okay, so I don't know, Robert. Probably, I'm going to guess 4, 5, 6 B.C. and probably sometime April, Jesus' birth. But that is pure, educated guesswork.
It was at night. That's when Jesus was born, at night.
How do you know that?
There was a star at Bethlehem. There's not usually stars out there in the daytime.
Yeah, but they followed that star for 2 years. By the time the wise guys got there, he was 2 years old. So it took a long time for them to find him. He was a young child by that time. Probably they went down to Bethlehem. Couldn't afford to go back because they were broke, and so he just got a job doing something down there and stayed for a couple of years. Then the wise guys came and they fled to Egypt, and then came back who knows when, a couple of years later when Herod died. So now the star would have been every night for a couple of years. As far as Jesus born at night, I don't know if you could prove that. They came to the inn and there was no room, so they went to the stable.
Yeah, I've heard all that stuff. I don't know.
I'll
ask him when I see him. So.
Yeah. We got a lot of things we believe because of a tradition, but there's no scripture to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Ron Allard writes in, the appendix is required to activate killer B cells in your immune system. Farmers' vets learned 50 years ago that the Bursius Leptospirosis in chickens, ooh, whatever that is, was needed for immune systems to work right. The equivalent in humans is the Bursius Fibrasius. The equivalent in humans to the Bursius Fibrasius is the appendix. Ah, okay, the chicken's appendix. Why didn't they say so? Appendix activates B cells like your thymus gland activates T cells. You won't find this fact in any encyclopedia, but for more, let's play Dr. Audio Version, Tape 3 of 3 by Dr. Joel Wallach. You can use this to further the gospel. I noticed ICR didn't have much detail on the subject. Facts or purposes of the appendix in humans in his victory. Thank you, Ron. Well, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. Yeah, I do, in my seminar part 4, get onto atheists who say the appendix is vestigial. I say, you guys have got to be kidding. You don't understand. The appendix is part of your immune system. So, it's true you can live without it, but that doesn't prove a thing. You can live without both your legs also. Here we go. Antonio Borges writes in. Is there a website or somewhere where I can check the accuracy of my children's school books? I am greatly upset with the information that is being taught in today's schools. Thank you. God bless. Antonio. Antonio, a website that covers accuracy of textbooks, probably textbookreviews.org. That is Mel Gabler, G-A-B-L-E-R, in Longview, Texas. So check out textbookreviews.org or watch my video number 4. I cover quite a bit on this topic on videotape number 4. On the lies in the textbooks, and give a rating. Several different years ratings have been done of textbooks. Some are better than others, and some are much worse. Okay. This is a AOL instant message, folks, and you can get on the air here with us at Dr. Dino Live or 850-479-DINO and call in. How do you pronounce this first one, Jonathan? G-O-E-T-T-L-E-R-S. Gettlers? 8. Writes in. Do you know Dennis Lee? Do you think his claims for free electricity is valid? I have heard of them. I honestly don't know. The whole thing sounds fishy to me. To get free electricity, you have a machine, you plug it in, it takes in a certain amount of power and gives you more power than that coming out the other end. So you end up free electricity. I don't know. I'm willing to look at it. I mean, I think obviously would be a little skeptical of that. Like you should be. Everybody should be, but hey, never know. Okay, he writes back. He uses the energy from permanent magnets to generate electricity. Yeah, I understand Gettler's 8, the principle, I think, a little bit behind it. But to me, it seems like a perpetual motion machine, and I would have to have it proven to me. So my first reaction is I don't believe it, but I'm willing to listen. Okay, here we go. Bam and Kurt Forever writes in. I can't listen to your show because my speakers don't work, but I just want to get this question out in the open. I'm a 7th grader about to be in 8th grade, and my science teacher is telling me that we're going to learn about evolution next year. And I honestly don't want to hear about it because that's just something I don't believe in. What should I do? And if you could, I know that you're busy, but could you please instant message me back? Thank you. Bam and Kurt Forever. I don't know that I can instant message. Tell him, Jonathan, the date. Email him, tell him the date on today's program. He can archive it and listen to it later when he gets his speakers fixed. Okay. Whoever this is, you can request to be exempt from any class teaching evolution. If you watch my videotape number 4, I cover that on the second hour, or else at the beginning of tape number 5. I'm not sure which one's on the website. But you have the right to be exempt from classes teaching things contrary to your religion. Your parents would have to sign the letter and have it notarized and send it in. And they should exempt you. If they don't, let me know. Okay? Okay. All right, folks, if you want an AOL instant messages, you are welcome to call in or message us at 850-479-DINO. Or you can message us at Dr. Dino Live. We appreciate you listening out there. Here's one from Eddie Hagler, writes in. I attended the news conference given in 87 by Dr. Baugh, in which he announced the discovery of Little David. What is your opinion of the fossil and the human footprint found nearby? Oh, Eddie, I'm not familiar with the Little David discovery. I do know Carl Baugh. He's a good friend of mine. He's coming to speak at our conference this September, Southeast Creation Conference. If you want to come, you could ask him any questions, or you can go to... Go visit him. He's south of Dallas-Fort Worth, about 45 miles. Great guy. Got a good ministry going there. Okay, who we got on the air here, John?
You got Mike on line one.
Mike, go ahead. I can hear you.
Dr. Harlan?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Mike up in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. First of all, it's a privilege speaking with you. As I wrote in a letter to you a few months back, you made a big impact in my life personally, and your teachings are impacting quite a number of other people up this way, too.
Well, excellent. What side of Pennsylvania, in east or west?
It's western Pennsylvania. We're about 50 miles northwest of Pittsburgh, right actually close to Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah, I spoke up there north of Pittsburgh last year sometime, but I don't remember the exact place now.
Anyway. We're looking for you, I think, in September. I think you're going to be up to Medina, Ohio. That's somewhere near Cleveland.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be coming out to that. We're looking forward to that.
Well, good. Yeah, I was in, let's see, Grove City is where I spoke.
Grove City College, in my opinion, one of the best schools in the country because they don't take any guff from the feds and monetary help. So, in fact, we just had John Kolb speak here at City Rescue Mission in Newcastle a couple weeks ago. He is their football coach, and he was a four-time offensive lineman on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I used to have season tickets way back when, and I got to meet one of my heroes, and he's now out not only coaching football, but preaching God's word, too.
Well, amen. Anyway, how can I help you, brother? What's your question?
I had written to you a few months back with an order. I don't know why, Dr. Hovind, I seem to be one who always comes up with these ever since I was a young kid, my original church, I'd come up with questions that nobody seemed to have a ready answer to. I have wondered if there is some correlation between the Red Shield of the Powers, who we know as the Rothschilds, and the color red of Edom and Esau.
Ooh, good question. I don't know, or the red of the Soviet Union, or red
Correct.
China, or
Illuminati, Mayday, and all that stuff.
Right. I was just reading yesterday a fascinating book by Bill Hughes as I flew back on the airplane. I try to read as much as I can all the time, but the book is called The Secret Terrorists. It's not a very big book, maybe, I got it in my hand here, 150 pages. He goes through the involvement of the Catholic Church in a lot of the things, especially the Jesuits, maybe not the Catholics in general, but the Jesuits, in assassinations and poisonings of some of American presidents, back in the, some of the guys who were poisoned back before Lincoln, And then, of course, they have the red robes and all that stuff, and the Bible talks in Revelation about the great beast, the whore, sits on seven hills and is clothed in red. Don't know. Good idea. I don't know if I got an answer to that. Edom means red,
I was reading somewhere, or I saw in one of your takes or something, that surrounding terrain of Edom has a red cast. I don't think it's granite. I forget what kind of topography is there. But,
I was there 2 years ago, and it's definitely, real red clay, kind of like Georgia,
I know how those of us who have been labeled conspiracy wackos for a number of years like to discuss the Khazarian tribes. And I just wonder if sometimes they don't get a little bit of the blame that should be shifted to some kind of genealogical line of Esau who was out for revenge. This is just my own supposition, Doctor.
Well, we got a break coming on here. That's a good point, though. Let me do some research on that, see what I can find.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. All right, folks, join us after the break here. CreationScience.com. A couple of websites to look at. DrDino.com. We'll see you in a minute. Bye-bye. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind talking to you live here this, May 24th. Hey, tomorrow's my son's birthday. My oldest son. He'll be 27. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And then 10 days later is the next son's birthday, and 19 days later is the daughter's birthday.
Family planning.
Family planning.
Yeah.
2 weeks apart. Actually, a year and 2 weeks apart. Okay, so they'll turn 27, 26, 25. Awesome. Amen. I'll tell you, folks, if you're raising kids out there, let me just tell you right now. Mine are all married and the dog died, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it is wonderful. You're going to enjoy it. I enjoyed having kids and raising them. That was an interesting stage of life, but grandkids are definitely more fun. Here we go. Carlos Carrevio writes in, do you have any information on cloning? I believe it is wrong. People try to justify cloning. How can a Christian respond to this subject? Carlos, let's see. I covered just a little bit about cloning on video number 7. I think it's a neat genetic trick where they take a DNA code out of one cell and stick it into another cell. They're not creating the code. They're not doing anything magical. It's removing a code from one, putting it in another. The code is already there, so I don't think they can take a lot of credit for anything exciting there with cloning.
Now, your personal opinion on this, do you think it would be morally wrong to clone just certain organs and so forth? Like if somebody had a liver transplant and somehow they could clone just a liver, do you think that would be acceptable? Or
that would be fine. No different than making an artificial heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do that already.
Yeah, I saw a laboratory test once where they actually grew a human ear on the back of a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, once it was fully grown, they could have taken that and put it on anything they wanted, to my knowledge. And every time I'm confronted with this cloning idea, I always think, Christ gave his body for somebody. It just seems like it wouldn't be that wrong to clone a liver or, just like you're saying, artificial heart or something like that. But when you get into trying to clone people, that's...
Well, see, that's what they're doing, though. They want the idea is to clone a person so that you can take his liver.
Yeah, see, that's murder.
Well, it's like this book here. I don't know if you got to see this one. We've only got 10 billion books in the library here.
If they did successfully clone a person, it would be just as much person as anybody else, if you ask me.
It's like if a woman is raped and gets pregnant, is that baby's a human?
Yeah, let's just take this baby, put it in a formaldehyde jar, and extract any organs we need later on. That's absolutely morally wrong. But unless you're an evolutionist, there are no morals.
There are no morals, right. There's a book here someplace in the library, Jonathan, called The Slash Brokers. It's about people who they'll go out and get somebody drunk, and then they drug them. And while they're drugged, they cut out their kidneys to sell them on the black market. And so the person comes to from the drunken stupor in a bathtub full of ice with a sign saying, call a doctor right away. And they've got two cuts on their back where their kidneys have been removed. The person almost always dies. But then the person who took the kidneys out and say, well, I didn't actually kill him. I just removed their kidneys and they died later. Oh, yeah. I didn't actually kill him. I just shot him through the head and he died 2 days later. I don't see the book right now, but somebody sent it to me. And it's interesting how much of that's going on. Because, people on waiting list in the hospital trying to get a kidney or a heart or something, they get desperate. They'll pay anything. So the price goes way up. The other end of the problem, though, that a lot of people don't see, a huge percentage of the medical experiments that are done, the medical procedures that are done, like somebody cloning a liver. Why? So they need to do that. All because somebody else has a bad liver. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why does that person have the bad liver? Probably because of a nutritional deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So the medical profession is looking for the expensive surgical way to fix the problem instead of the simple, cheap way to prevent the problem. It's like, if you're replacing engines in cars and you sell rebuilt engines, well, you're hoping everybody's car engine blows up. You don't want to sell oil to help them prevent their car from blowing up. You want their car engine to blow up so you can sell them a new one. So that's what a lot of the medical stuff is, I think. It's a purposely extremely expensive way to fix what could have been a very simple problem. And that's where vitamins, minerals, nutrition come in. You might want to get our videotape, folks, The Bible and Health. Just go to our website, drdino.com, and go to the topical videos. We have 3 sets of videos, the debates. By the way, the next 8 debates, number 13 through 20, you can order them now. I think they'll be shipped in about 4 days. We're waiting on a little printing to come back, the covers coming back from the print press. The DVDs are available now, if I'm not mistaken, and VHS will be available in any day when the covers get here. Okay, Tracy Martin writes in. I'm debating with a friend, and the question... Oh, by the way, John, you've seen some of the new debates. Have you seen the one?
I've seen about probably 6 of the 8 new ones, and they are absolutely amazing. Everyone can take my word. I have very high standards, and these are awesome debates.
Which one, you got a favorite? Or
probably the second Shermer one that you had. KKMS was the first one when you debated him back June or so, I think. And that was just awesome. It was a huge crowd. There were three people. There were you, Michael Shermer, and Kyle Frazier from Reasons to Believe. It just turned out to be an amazing debate. But the second one with Michael Shermer at the University of Berkeley in California, Irvine.
He thinks he won. California.
Oh, that's wrote a big paper about it and everything.
I couldn't believe. Where's that paper at? On his website?
It's on skeptic.com, right on the front page. So, yeah, he's got a couple.
He thinks
loose.
He won because of the statement I made. He says, what's the best proof for creation? And I said, or he said, the best proof against evolution or something. And I said, well, it's the best proof for a creator is the impossibility of the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best proof that a human built this computer? Well, it's impossible that a human didn't build the computer.
Yeah, it's absurd even to think that a human didn't build that computer.
And he thinks because of that he wins the debate. Michael, pay attention, man.
I got to understand the answer there.
Anyway, call in, Michael. We'd be glad to have you on the program. Very nice guy, just dead wrong and leading others astray. And that's what bothers me. That's the thing about a lot of these cult leaders, too. You know, they don't want to just teach something that's goofy. They want to lead others astray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the dangerous thing, you know. That's why I guess on so many issues I try not to, you know, if the Bible's not dogmatic, I say, look, here's the three theories or the four theories. And
yeah.
Here's why I believe this one, but I, you know.
And, of course, you get criticized for that as well sometimes.
Yeah. I get criticized for everything. That's fine. I can handle it.
Yeah, you're salt. You're
I'm
salt.
A lightning rod, but I'm well-grounded.
So yeah, there you go.
Strike away, fella. Here we go. Tracy Martin writes in, I'm debating a friend, and the question of Earth slowing down has been brought up. I've tried to research the rate of the slowing down, but come up with basically conflicting results. That's correct, Tracy. You do come up with conflicting results. Most creationists say 0.005 of a second per year, while sites like NASA.gov say 1 second per 50,000 years. What is the actual rate, and is there a source for this that my friend may give credibility? Tracy, I don't know the answer to that question. I have read lots of different conflicting information on that. All I say in my seminar is, the Earth is slowing down in its spin. That's pretty obvious, and there's a lot of reasons, known science, you know, common sense, physical reasons, why the Earth would be slowing down. There is no known reason that would speed the Earth up. Everything would slow it down. The tidal friction, the internal friction with the liquid core, the prevailing wind currents. This is called the moon. It creates a braking action. Just the moon going around. The gravitational pull is a drag on the Earth. Who cares? Anyway, the Earth is slowing down. That's the point that they miss. And that's why I don't even, in my seminar, give a number. I showed the newspaper article where it says 1/1000th of a second per day. That's what the newspaper said. And then I quote, you know, Science Magazine or this Giant Telescope or Discover Magazine, whatever it was, about the Earth is slowing down. There's no question it's slowing down. How much? I don't know. I'm not sure anybody knows exactly. Mm-hmm. The point is, it's slowing down. This is what they miss, okay, which means it used to be going faster, which means at some point in the past you create a problem. There we go. From Pepe Gunn. How would you explain Hebrews 11, 1 and 3 to a scientist? Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things. Hope for the evidence of things not seen. Is that Hebrews 1, 1? Hebrews 11, 1. You got that there, Jonathan?
Yes, I do. Let's see. Hebrews 11, 1. Yep, that's right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
And verse 3?
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
To me, that verse to me, I think, is talking about atoms. The things that we see are made of things that we cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot see the atoms, the electrons, the protons, the neutrons, but everything's made out of them.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are made are made of, things that are seen are made of things which cannot be seen. Maybe it's talking about something else in that verse, I don't know, but I think that's what it's talking about. How would I explain that to a scientist, Pepe? That's what I would say. I'd say pretty obvious. Science has just discovered, you know, the atoms in the last 100 years or so. Darwin, even in Darwin's day, they thought the cell was just a little sack of jelly. They didn't think it was anything special, just a little glob of jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Each cell is pretty complex, you know. So, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious we have to take by faith that everything we see is made of things which we do not see. Okay, here we go. The Bart Man, 47, writes in, the story about the kidney thieves is an old urban legend. Read more about it on urbanlegends.about.com. Okay, Bart, don't know. The book that I have, The Slash Brokers, give several stories, and if I recall, they are documented names of hospitals, etc. Maybe it's not true. I know in China there are many reports of Christians, particularly, but prisoners are being executed just so they could sell their body parts. Now, I've never been to China and don't know that I can document those either, but I know there's a lot of reports that, and a lot of people, of course, are buying body parts for hospitals, so they got to be getting them somewhere. I'm still scanning my library trying to find it. The Slash Brokers was the name of the book, if I recall. Paperback, about 5/8 of an inch thick. Don't see it. Okay, I'll probably find it right after I don't need it, and it won't matter. Actually, it doesn't matter now. Okay, let's go on. Anyway, thanks to you, Bartman. I'll check out that website when I get time. Michelle Vandermeer writes in, what formats are the DVD in? I don't know.
NTSC.
Our DVDs are in NTSC. You mean DVDs also have the six different PAL and NTSC and all that stuff?
I think so.
So you have to get a DVD that's regionalized?
We had somebody from Norway or something like that contact me today asking for PAL format DVDs, and you know, I have no idea what it's. Could they very well be speaking Norwegian or whatever they speak over there?
Well, here's the problem. Different countries use different voltages and different cycles in their electricity. In America, NTSC, which is National Television Standard something, I don't know what it stands for, NTSC, it's 60 cycles and 110, 120 volts. In Europe, they use 220 and 50 hertz. The videotape that we can make in our system out here, PAL tapes or NTSC. The only countries that use NTSC, I think, are America, Canada, Mexico, and Japan, maybe. There may be one or two more. We've got a chart showing, you know, which country uses which type of system. There's actually six systems. China uses CCAM. This Michelle is writing here from Australia and says, you're having trouble playing the DVDs from America as they are in NTSC format, which means they only play in black and white. Interesting. Now, if you get an NTSC videotape and play it in a PAL machine, you can only hear the audio and you can't see the picture. It scrambles it up pretty bad. They make, Michelle, a multi-system machine, which many people in foreign countries, if they're going to get a lot of American tapes, they just buy a multi-system DVD player. I mean, DVD players are, what, $80? So you could probably get a multi-system DVD player for $100 or $120 that would play anything. So, yes, to answer your question, our DVDs, are done. You could say what, Michelle, call during the daytime and go to extension 132. That's our technical department. And ask them, because I know that they tried to choose a format that is the most compatible to the most people. Be all things to all men.
Mm-hmm.
Or women, in Michelle's case. So, anyway, if you want to call the technical department, ask them that question, but I think you'll have to get a multi-system. We do not make the DVDs in PAL format. And for those of you here in America that don't know what PAL format is, it doesn't matter. Just keep going, okay? That's just a different system they use in other countries, because they like to confuse the world. All right. Here we go. Dan, wow, Dan, you got a strange last name here, from Barrie, Ontario. K-N-E-Z-A-C-E-K. Knezakek. Sounds Russian to me. Ukrainian. Moldovan. Lithuanian. Anyway. He says, I just got the Creation Seminar series. Where did you get the information about the names of the men in Noah's line? Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary has different Hebrew meanings for some of the names. Methuselah means man of the javelin, and Enoch means consecrated. I know that anyone who publishes new versions like Zondervan may not be all that trustworthy, so I'd like to know where the information comes from. Thanks, Dan in Ontario. Dan, what I did in my seminar part 6, if you want to watch that one, is the newest one online, Jonathan?
Yeah, they're all online. They can go to drdonner.com.
That's the very newest one.
Yep, they can go to the download section and seminar online.
Okay. What I have, Dan, if you want to watch this, on seminar part 6, we cover a lot of 6 and 7. We cover a lot of frequently asked questions, but I think I got the information from Henry Morris's book, The Long War Against God, if I recall, or from, his Defender's Bible. The people in order are Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Those are the 10 people before the flood. according to what I have heard, is Adam means man, Seth means appointed, Enos is mortal, Canaan means sorrow, Mahalalel means the blessed God, Jared means shall come down, Enoch means preaching or preacher, Methuselah means his death shall bring, and Lamech means the despairing, and Noah means rest. There's not much argument about most of these names. Anyway, if you put it into a sentence, the first 10 names mean, or would say, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down preaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. Don't know if it's true or not. Preacher's good. And I think I mentioned that in the seminar. I don't think I could prove that. Just that's what others have taught me on the subject. Okay, 1 minute till the break here. David Felix writes in. Hi, I have a question regarding Genesis 1. What does it mean God separated light from darkness? And so, one was day, the other night, and then there was evening and morning. That was before he made the sun. I've never quite understood it. I was hoping it was going to be discussed in the Q&A download. Thanks, David. David, good question. I don't have an answer to that other than God is light, and the Bible says he created darkness. There's nothing evil about darkness. I happen to like it when I'm sleeping. In a motel the other day. Where was I at? Anyway, Iowa. And curtain wouldn't close. It's just hard to sleep when you get to bed at 1:30 and, you know, you got to get up early. And you want to sleep past 6. It just doesn't work. So we'll be back after the break and discuss that some more. Hang in there, David. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is the final segment. If you want to call in, call 850-479-3466. You can also call in now to order our... We have the whole Bible on CD at double speed. Have you listened to any of that, Jonathan?
I listened to one of your records once for about 3 minutes, and that's tough if you're not following along in Scripture.
If you're following along, though, it's amazing. You can read the whole Bible in like 32 hours or something like that, you know.
I'm going to have to get the CDs.
Yeah, listen while you drive. I've heard it so many times, I can, you know, quote along with them, you know, because you just become familiar with just by hearing it. So that's good. That's available if you want to call in, or you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. Okay, David, the verse I was looking for is Isaiah 45 and verse 7, starting in verse 6. Starting with verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. There you have it, folks. God said he formed the light and created darkness. There's nothing evil about darkness.
It's interesting, too. Light is a thing. You know, we have photons and so forth. But darkness wasn't formed. It was just created.
Darkness, yeah, is an absence of light.
Yeah.
It's like cold is an absence of heat. There's not really such thing as cold.
Mm-hmm.
Though I've been cold.
Yeah.
But I guess it really wasn't. I just didn't have enough heat. Yeah, okay. Here we go. This is a long testimony. Brandon, I tell you what, is a page and a half long. Let me save that to later. And Villa, yours also. Let me try to summarize that. I'll read through that off air here and get that ready for tomorrow's program. By the way, I think I'm here all week. I haven't looked at my calendar yet, but I'm ready to be home for a few days. This will be great. Here we go. Daniel Gingras writes in. Dr. Ovin, I'm not sure if you'll find this interesting, but I recently read that the United Nations of America has $666 billion worth of currency floating around the world. Huh. I don't know. $666 billion worth of currency. They didn't send me any of it. I know that.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know if I call it currency. It's fraud notes. Federal Reserve Accounting Unit devices. Fraud. F-R-A-U-D. Okay. Here's one from Twinkle100%. Now, there's an interesting name, Sweeney. Do you have any statistics about the increase in abortion, suicide, and that kind of stuff after we took prayer out of our schools because of evolution? If you could you type the response? I cannot listen to the radio, but I'm interested in the statistics. Thank you. I realize you try to stick to the creation evolution topic. So if you don't want to answer, tell me which video it is talked about. And if it's toward the middle or the beginning or the end, thank you. Okay, I cover that toward the middle of videotape number one. Twinkle 100%, go to video seminar part one. And go about 40 minutes into the video, and where I show the statistics of what's happened to our moral indicators since evolution became a popular theory in the early 60s. Now, several things happened in the early 60s. We're not sure what caused what, but bottom line is our country began to fall apart in many, many ways, and we cover that. There's been a 2,300% increase in child abuse since the early 60s. That's based on the same, you know, the population, including the population growth.
Don't read that
one. Okay.
Just sent that to the wrong person.
Don't read your answer because you sent it to the wrong person. Okay. Brendan Horton writes in, why does the Bible refer to the offspring of women and fallen angels as giants? When it seems to me, everything was giant-like. Did giants build the Pyramid of Giza? If not, who did? Okay, let me take one question at a time here. Brendan, I don't think you could show the Genesis chapter 6 passage says that the offspring of the giants were the same as the offspring, I mean, that the giants were the same as the offspring of women and fallen angels. And I don't think you could show from Genesis chapter 6 that the fallen angels, that's the most common theory, is that fallen angels intermarried the daughters of men and begat strange, you know, men of renown. But read the passage carefully. It says, and also after that, just divide it up by that phrase, which may mean they're not even connected. It may have nothing to do with anything. I don't know. Have you studied that one out, Jonathan? Who were the giants?
That's what I've been raised to believe, the Nephilim and so forth. But again, like you said, there's not a whole lot there to grasp on dogmatically, so...
Genesis 6 and then Jude, where it says the angels kept not their first estate.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people try to tie the Revelation passage in, where it says he drew a third of the stars with his tail. I don't know how they get a third of the angels out of that. It may be, but I don't know. So, Brandon, I think I'd be cautious about building a doctrine on that, because I don't think you could prove it was fallen angels. I happen to believe it was, but I don't think I could prove that from Scripture. Second half of the question was, has Kent Hovind ever wanted to have a debate at Washington University in St. Louis? For I am currently a freshman. I would love him to open the eyes of these evolutionists here. Well, Brandon, I will debate every single professor on the faculty simultaneously with half my brain tied behind my back, just to make it fair, since that's Rush Limbaugh's stomping grounds down there. It's just south of there in Cape Girardeau. I spoke in Cape Girardeau a couple of months ago. I got to see Rush Limbaugh's house he was raised in, where he used to holler out the window mean things at kids as they walk by. Let's see. Yes, to answer your question, I would be thrilled to come debate. They won't do it. So, Brandon, let me tell you what you have to do. You'll have to go to each professor one at a time and say, Professor, would you be willing to, you know, take the evolution side in a creation-evolution debate against Kent Hovind? And he will say no, or she will say no. That's just to be expected. And they'll give you, I can list the 4 or 5 reasons they'll give, because they're always the same. It doesn't matter. Once they say no, I won't do it, then, after you get a list of 100 or 200 of these professors, go ahead and call my office and schedule me to come just speak at the university in Washington, Washington University in St. Louis. And schedule a room that'll hold about 1,000 people, because that many will come, I can assure you. And then run an ad in your Student Voice newspaper that says, come here, Kent Hovind, speak. The following professors refused to debate him. And list their names. And send the list to Jonathan. How many's on our list now?
We've probably got about 600 or 700, so.
We just started keeping the list.
Recently, yeah, probably about 8 months ago, maybe, we started it.
See, I had over 3,000 times I'd been turned down before that. That I said, let's start keeping a list, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
There about 600, 700 on there now. So if your professors refuse to debate on the creation topic, send us their name. We will add it to the notorious list. Didn't you have one get upset because their name was on there?
There was one, I think I'm kind of in favor, I kind of understand her position. The student came to her and just said, will you debate him? And she just, spur of the moment, said, I can't right now. She just gave her an article to read. But it wasn't I'm scared, I don't want to do it. And
yeah.
The student kind of just said, well, I'm going to go tell him. And so I think I'm kind of being sympathetic towards the evolution.
Yeah, take the name off and tell, and go ask her again, you know.
Yeah, if it's an honest, you know,
honestly feasible
invitation here,
yeah.
Then yeah.
Okay, Dakota Shuck, S-C-H-U-C-K, writes in, I recently figured out one word idea that completely disproves the theory of evolution, curiosity. Any curious species would be extinct. They would willingly walk into death. I don't know if anyone has ever thought of this before. If possible, please respond. A 14-year-old scientist, Dakota. Curiosity. Curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah, one of them at least.
One of them, yeah, must have, or they wouldn't be talking about it. Good point. Curiosity would disprove the evolution theory. Where was I at the other day? Somebody was asking the question, where did the first man evolve? He said, oh, that's not the question. The question is, where did the first woman evolve? Yeah. He said, what if you do get a man to evolve? And the woman doesn't evolve till 300 years later in a different part of the world. You got a problem there. Okay. Tiffany writes in, Dr. Rovin, I'm a Christian and believe in creation. I have never really gotten into the gap theory debate because I didn't care about the details. A friend of me lent me some of your DVDs, and I'm fascinated with your conjecture, and I too believe the creation was a literal six-day creation. I have a few questions, though, and wanted to see what you thought. Before all of that, my biggest question is Genesis 1:3. It says God created daylight. What was this light if God didn't create the sun until the fourth day? Oh, pretty simple, Tiffany. God himself is light. If you look at Genesis 1, the first 13 verses, there is no light. There is no sun, but there is light. Look at Revelation, the last chapter and a half. There is no sun, but there is still light. It says they have no need of the sun, for he is the light thereof. God started this place off where he was the light, and then he's going to end this place where he is the light. So I don't think we need the sun, actually, to make the light. I mean, I like the sun. It's nice to have, but God himself is light. Okay? Here's the next question from Tiffany. Does Yom always mean 24-hour period? In your video, you say it does and give examples from Scripture. But the same word Yom is used when saying the day of the Lord is near. Well, now, Tiffany, the day of the Lord, the Yom, Y-O-M, Hebrew for day, if the day of the Lord is near, that is still meaning one day. Do you think the Lord's going to come back slowly or spread out over 5 days? Or is it going to be the day of the Lord? Now, I think it is still good. That one's going to be a day. That's probably the only one that's even slightly questionable. Every other place, it's real obvious. It's a day. You know, how long was Jesus in the grave? 3,000 years or 3 days and three nights? You can look up any reference to the word day, and it's real obvious, especially when it says evening and morning. And it says day one, day two, or translated the first day, the second day, which is exactly correct. Okay, this could mean an indefinite period of time. Let's see. Had a hard time understanding when God made the angels. I think you believe they were created on day one or two, but it says in the Bible that the morning stars stood together when God laid the foundations of the earth. Ah, Tiffany, that's correct. Job 38 says the morning stars, referring to the angels, rejoiced when God laid the foundations of the earth. That is correct. Now go back and read Genesis 1:9, and I think you'll see that the foundations of the earth were laid on day three. That's when the dry land appeared, which is why I say the angels must have been made on day one or day two. They could not have been made before the creation, because the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 11, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Real clear on that one. Okay, when did Satan fall? Oh, I said on videotape number 2, he had to fall within the first 100 years, and after day 7, somewhere between those two extremes. Probably 100 years later would be my guess. Now, you said he had to have fallen before Adam sinned because he was there to tempt him. Well, yeah, but that could have happened a few minutes before Adam sinned. Could have all been the same day. We don't have any clue on that.
I don't understand why people think that he had to have sinned to have been on earth. You know, God says in Ezekiel, what is it, Ezekiel 13 or something, he says, thou wast in Eden when iniquity was found in you. So he was in Eden when iniquity was found in him. That doesn't mean he had sinned before that, or else God would have said, there was iniquity found with you, you know, within you, therefore I threw you into Eden. It says he was in Eden when iniquity was found in him. So he had to have been there before
right.
The iniquity was found in him.
Yeah, Ezekiel 28, powerful passage there. I think Lucifer just simply got jealous of these Adam and Eve praising God and said, you know, they ought to be praising me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty, I'm smart, I'm rich, you know, whatever. Yeah. Pride got the best of him. It's the best of a lot of people. Pride, let's see. We talk about that on our videotape, Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon. Might want to read that one. Okay. It says, Genesis 1:1, the word created is used, the Hebrew word bara, meaning created out of nothing. And later, the Hebrew word asa is mean, assembled from existing material. Why the difference in meaning? I really appreciate the opportunity to get your point of view. I'm pretty new at this, so the information will be helpful. Thank you, Tiffany. Tiffany, the word created and made are used interchangeably all through Scripture. I cover that on videotape number 7, I believe, where I got a whole list here. I think there are 6 references where it says the trees are created and 5 references where it says the trees are made.
Mm-hmm.
There are some where it says the sky was created, others that say the sky was made. Genesis 2:4, I believe. You got that one there? In Genesis 2:4?
You can look in Genesis as well that God says, let us make man in our image, a man that formed, or God formed man of the dust of the ground and so forth. And created.
Yeah, that's the Genesis 2:4 passage. I think it's 2:4. What's that one say?
Genesis 2:4. I've got this tiny pocket Bible.
I know. Can you read that?
Okay, Genesis 2:4 says...
Program's over. We'll tune in again tomorrow, folks. We'll cover some more on that. Thanks a lot.